Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi is in the first chapter of Nedarim. Mishnah Daled, the fourth and final Mishnah here. Ha'omer Korban Ola. Someone says this item is like a Korban Ola, an elevation offering that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. It's like a mincha, a meal offering. Hatat, a sin offering. Toda, a thanksgiving offering. It's the famous one that comes with the 40 loaves of bread. Shlamim, a peace offering. And he's linking these, She'eno ohel loch, that I'm not going to eat your food. Usser, so it's forbidden for Reuven to eat Shimon's food. Reuven has just told Shimon, your food to me is like an offering, a sacrificial offering that I'm forbidden to partake of. Therefore, I'm really not going to eat your food. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda allows these cases because he hasn't linked it with the ka, like we had yesterday. Yerushalayim is just Jerusalem, but Ki Yerushalayim was like Yerushalayim. This object is like Yerushalayim, those famous sacrificial offerings made in Yerushalayim, and therefore it is forbidden, but Rabbi Yehuda needs that Ki to link them together. Grammatically, Ka on the front end of a word is a prefix. It's sort of an abbreviation for Kmo, which means like or compared to. And the Mishnah now clarifies, Ha Karban, Ki Karban, Karban She'ochel Lach. According to the other sages, not Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter if he said ha or ka or no prefix at all, aser, it's still a binding netter. Now, le karban, for an offering, lo ochel lach, I'm not going to eat your food. Rabbi Meir oser, Rabbi Meir forbids this case because le karban, it's as if he's saying your food is as if it's becoming a karban, as if it's designated to be an offering, so it's forbidden for me to eat it. Now, to take a step back real quick, Reuven can't make Shimon forbidden to eat Shimon's food. Reuven is making this neder because he doesn't want to eat Shimon's food. Maybe Shimon keeps inviting him for lunch, and he wants to really reinforce the point that he will not be joining him for lunch. But you can't make somebody else's item usser to that other person, because simply it doesn't belong to you. We'll see there are cases later where someone can make his own items forbidden to other people. We'll see that later on in the Masechta. And the Mishnah continues, Ha'omer l'chaveiro, Reuven tells Shimon, Konam P, there's a konam on my mouth, ha-medaber imach, regarding speaking with you, or yadi, on my hand, osei imach, for working with you, or doing something for you, ragli, my legs, meholchot imach, from walking with you, usser. These are effective binding vows, and the reason is he's putting a vow of prohibition on a specific item, a specific part of his body. We'll see cases later where he tries to just say, I'm not going to walk with you, without linking it to something specific that may not work. Great, Mazel, let's go on to chapter 2. Ve'elu mutarin, these cases are not forbidden. Chulin she'ochelach. The food I will eat from you, Reuven says to Shimon, it's like chulin. Chulin is regular, normal, non-consecrated food that we eat every day. So he hasn't linked it to anything forbidden. It's obviously still permitted. And the Mishnah brings other cases that are permitted for a different reason. Kibasar chazir. I'm making a netter. Your food is like pig meat. Ka'avodah zara, like a offering made to a an idol. Paganism. Ke'orot levuvin. Hides that were de-hearted. Now, there was a practice, the Gemara explains, that there was a cult of pagans who would rip the hearts out of animals while they're still alive. There's a rumor that in India there was a cult that would even do this to human beings. So the hides that remained from these sacrificial offerings, you know, had a hole over where the heart would have been, and you could tell it was used in this idolatrous service. Or kinevelot, nevela is an animal that died without shrita, without ritual slaughter, like a roadkill. Ketrefot, a trefa is an animal that had a normal shechita, a ritual slaughter. Then they found there was a pre-existing condition in the animal that would have been fatal. Famously, the holes in the lungs are the most common one. Kishikotzim, shekets is like yucky stuff. We're talking about like non-kosher bugs and non-kosher eels and fish and slimy stuff. And yeah, it's shekets. Kiramashim. So rimasim actually is like worms and maggots and that kind of not kosher stuff. Kehalat acharon utrumato, like the challah for Aaron the Kohen or his truma. These things are mutter. Now, meaning the vow is mutter. The vow is not a vow. He was trying to vow against his friend's bread or his friend's sandwich. It's not an effective vow. Because these items, while they're forbidden to consume, of course, and pigs and Aharon's challah and truma and these things, they're forbidden to have benefit from, but that prohibition is not made by a human being. It's automatic. It's an intrinsic condition to these items. The meat of a pig is always forbidden. It's not something that's subject to a nether of being forbidden or allowed. Now compare this to a carbon, an offering. The sheep of the offering that we just mentioned is perfectly allowed until somebody designates it as an offering, until it's selected to be the carbon, the sacrificial offering of that day. So we learn from here that only items that become forbidden through human action, through voluntary human designation, can be linked to a neder to then make a normal, regular, permitted item to become prohibited. Now the Mishnah turns back to a Kesuvos topic. Ha'omer le'ishto, someone tells his wife, Hare at olai ke'ima, you remind me of my mother. So what he's really saying is, it's forbidden for me to live with you just as it would be to be with my mother. So since his mother is already intrinsically forbidden for him for intimacy, this isn't actually a valid neder on a biblical level. But the Mishnah explains, Potchin lo petach malkum acher, we make him go to the rabbi and get an opening to undo his vow on a rabbinical, as a rabbinical requirement, shol yakel rosho lekach, that he should not be lightheaded making such nedarim. And obviously, while he's at with the sages getting this neder annulled rabbinically, they're going to tell him, never compare your wife to your mother or her mother or anything, you know, and it's just never a good idea. Now, what if he says, Konam she'eni yoshen, I'm making a konam, a vow that I will never sleep. She'eni medaber, I will never speak. She'eni mehalech, or I will never walk. Or ha'omer le'ishto, he tells his wife, Konam she'eni mishom sheikh, I'm banning myself from being intimate with you. And the Gemara explains he means to ban the hana'ah, the pleasure from the act on himself, since he cannot ban his wife from this because she is legally entitled to it as a condition of the ketuvah, as a condition of a Jewish marriage, as explained recently in Ketuvot. Harei ze belo yachel devaro. All of these cases, this man has a sin of lo yachel devaro. A man may not profane his word, but this is a rabbinical level sin because these are not valid biblical nedarim. In all of these cases, the ban is taking place on an inanimate object. He simply says, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to walk. He hasn't said a specific body part, a specific item. So these are not valid nedarim on a biblical level. But really, the rabbis need to intervene and tell this guy to stop doing stuff like this. It's simply not appropriate. But what if he says, Shavua she'eni yashan, I'm making an oath. Now, an oath, recall, can take effect on something intangible. It creates a personal obligation on the person. It's not fixed to a specific item. So he makes a shvua, an oath, she'eni yashan, I will not sleep, she'eni medaber, or not speak, or she'eni meholech, usser. So he's actually forbidden from doing those activities on a biblical level. He's created a biblically binding shvua, even though if he tried to do it with a neder, it would be ineffective on a biblical level.